for joining us for the MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast, Transforming Manufacturing Enterprises.
MassMEP understands that there are so many elements to a manufacturer's business, whether it's finding their inefficiencies, strengthening their internal processes, or unlocking their growth that can extend a manufacturer beyond its current limitations.
Every episode, take a journey with us as we talk with manufacturers, legislature, subject matter experts, and so many more as we head down the path of manufacturing across the state of Massachusetts.
Whether we're in the Northeast,
Southeast,
Central, or Western regions of the Commonwealth,
every episode will explain more about manufacturing and what's happening in your own backyard.
Well, now we are. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast. I'm Haley Steele.
And I'm Kevin Tata.
Okay, Kevin, 100th episode. I think we just had the best content ever and we didn't record a single second of it.
I know, just us bickering, that's all.
Bickering about what's going on. We are here today, super exciting moment. It's our 100th episode. Kevin, you can, at some point, you'll be able to let everybody know how your impact has been and how, I would say, what is your tenure on the episodes of the 100th that we have done? So you're how, what would we call it for you? How many episodes have you done?
I think I started on episode 75 and it was called Meet the New Guy. I believe so. So this is my 25th episode. So quarter of a 100. So
quarter of
everybody
a century.
Everybody will be back here once I hit my 100th.
Okay. I like it.
Have everybody back.
All right. So we only have 75 more episodes to go till Kevin hits 100.
Yep.
That's great. That's good. All right. Good. Well, we definitely want to introduce everybody because we do have a full, full cast in here today, right, Kevin?
Stacked cast.
Stacked cast. Yeah. All right. So I'm going to introduce you to, let's start with our ladies first, as we like to do. So our president, Miss Kathy Mahoney. Welcome, Kathy.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here and I'm glad to be part of the 100th episode.
It's exciting. Wouldn't be an episode if we didn't have back one of our faithful to the podcast, and that is our Senior Director of Business Development, Miss Christy Grignon.
Thank you guys so much for having me back. I'm glad to be part of the stacked cast.
Yeah. Yeah. Meanwhile, she's plotting on how to not be invited back to any more episodes in the future in the back of her head right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's been plotting that since day one, and nothing's happened so far. So
yeah, we have these tools that we can make it so that everybody sounds really good in this podcast. We have with us our Associate Director of IT, Mr. Matt Healy.
Thanks for having me, guys. Happy to be here. Your face is probably saying otherwise, or maybe mine is, but like we said, I was here for the first one, so I'll be happy to be here for the 100th. Invite me again at the 200th, and we'll leave that gap in between.
There we go. Well, you got it. Noted. And then also with some of our faithfuls that we are having return with us again, we have John Sinopoli from Synagex. Welcome, John.
Hey. I am genuinely excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And I did save, how's that saying go?
Save the best for last.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Save the best for last. Pete Morin from Synagex as well. Welcome back, Pete.
Thank you, Haley. I'm definitely honored to be part of the 100th episode.
Yeah. I think what's the most exciting part for me is that we have seen Pete grow into such an amazing media person over the last 3 years, right, John, that he's been doing this?
He's come a long way. I am super proud of him. Thank you for bringing that up.
You're welcome. He was in Matt's shoes almost 3 years ago when we did this episode. He was like, "What? Why am I in here? What is this? Why are we doing this?" So welcome.
Still wondering why I'm here, but that's okay. I'll contribute how I can.
Oh, well, that's good. So, well, welcome everybody. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for taking your time. And let's get rolling with our 100th episode.
I'll get things started.
All right. Let's do it.
So congratulations to everybody for making it to the 100th episode. Everybody in here has had a contribution to that. So a little round of applause for that. We're going to be guiding this podcast with trivia questions. The first trivia question that we have for everybody, whoever can answer it, what was the catalyst that brought the podcast to its 100th episode?
Cinejax. No.
Yeah.
What do we think that catalyst was?
I think it was COVID.
Christy Grignon, yeah. So the catalyst that brought us here was indeed COVID. MassMEP wanted to stay in front of the manufacturers and continue to give them valuable information. So I think we had, well, I wasn't here at the time, but Haley, there were 3 episodes prior to that that were created. And then the rest was history. I think we have had about like 25 episodes within that COVID period, which mm-hmm. was from like, I think it started March 2020 and mm-hmm. then it went into like up until 2021, we had about like 25 episodes in that time frame. So a lot of valuable information there, a lot of COVID protocols and stuff to keep you running. It's been quite a ride, huh?
It was also an opportunity for us to stay relevant with our partners.
Definitely.
So the one that I mentioned earlier that I was on with Rep Roy was during budget season. And it was a way for us to make every, because no one knew, right? If we think about it, no one knew how to do any of this media stuff mm-hmm. Or Zoom even. We were struggling with Zoom. It was a way to keep everyone and reach out to our partners on something besides COVID regulations.
We did an episode with a senator as well, who is part of the food caucus. And they were talking about how they didn't know how to cut the milk down from the universities and box them, like crazy, crazy stories.
Yeah.
And they were just dumping milk, dumping it.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Travesty.
Yeah, they couldn't even, they were opening up the hatches on the back of the big milk trucks and just letting the milk go because they couldn't, the schools weren't open. There was nowhere to take anything. Yeah, like Christy said. Yeah, it's so crazy.
Plus you also think, right, in March, I was talking to someone about this the other day. I mean, it was March 12th that we got the notice that school was going to be closed on Friday. At that point, it was like every week, 2 weeks, we thought it was going to be different. We thought it was going to be over, right? The summer came, we thought we could interact again. It was a lot of unknown.
Christy and I used to sit in the office and we would just sit and we'd look at the numbers. We'd be like, oh, come on. There's 5 people. Then it was like 10 people. And we were like, what's, and then the next thing you know, we got pulled into a meeting and Kathy's like, you all have to go home. And we're like, no, no, we don't. She's like, yeah, you do.
I mean, I missed out on my senior year of college because of that, which was a massive bummer. Massive bummer. Didn't even walk. Had to watch my name on the TV just go by with everybody else's.
Yeah.
It was a bummer.
There you go.
Man, I feel like you need a special... You need a special kind of party if you miss your senior year in college. There needs to be like a graduation extravaganza of some sort.
I agree.
I have a question. Are we keeping score with this trivia? Because if it's competitive, this is a whole different thing.
Yeah, I will keep score. Christy has one. Absolutely. I have my notes up right now.
Put on my whiteboard right here.
Oh, you got it? All right, Matt's got it. Matt has got it. Yes, we are keeping score. I love that John asked that question. Are we keeping score? Yeah. Okay. All right.
So I'm definitely handle that part today.
All right. What's our next trivia question, Kevin?
All right. The next trivia question is steered towards Cinejax. And this question is, how did MassMEP and Cinejax create our relationship? Way back when.
Oh, I mean, where's
Buzzer?
I feel like that question was loaded, Kevin.
Yeah,
that was even pre me, like before I even joined Synergex, shortly that before. Is, but
that was a softball. If we didn't get this one, I feel like we should just drop off now. Like we're just uninvited. Yeah. So wow, memory serves me. There was a cybersecurity event at the Berkshire Innovation Center that we either attended or inquired about. And it was centered around an assessment tool and around CMMC. And come to find out, there was a need for someone to assist with some of the services and delivering, you know, some of the assessment work and becoming a partner in that subject matter area. And we loved each other like at first sight, and that's how this relationship was born. If I remember, it was like we gazed at each other across the room and said, oh my gosh, this has to be like a thing. This is amazing.
Do you remember? Is that wrong? No, is that you're wrong? Right. You're right. But there was also a company.
I'm gonna jump in on this.
Go ahead, Chrissy. What's your answer?
We were working with Cyber Strong, Cyber Sane, and come to find out, they were contracting with you guys to do the assessments for our company. And then at that moment, when Rich and John gazed at each other across the room, and it was love at first sight, we engaged directly with you guys.
That's right. That's right. Thank you for the detail. I guess I was a little too romantic in my thinking. I skipped over that part.
Yeah. CyberSaint was wonderful. And yeah. I can't even tell you how many webinars we did with them, you know, during COVID. And it was great because they were so relaxed. I remember the hoodies on the couch during the webinars. Very relaxed cybersecurity folks out there in the world.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
And we should give a shout out to Ben Sosny, though, that wasn't able to make it today. And I hear is our biggest fan. So from Berkshire Innovation Center.
That's great. Just threw some salt on that wound. I love it. I love it. I love it. Good, good, good. Do you guys know how many episodes you've done with us?
I think it was 5, or is it 4?
Wait a minute, I have a cheat sheet. Was it, is it eight?
It is 8.
Oh,
it
wow.
Is 8.
That's definitely 2 points. You better give me credit for both.
announcing that he has a cheat sheet, expecting more points.
1.5, fine.
All right, 1.5. 1.5 to 2. Chrissy's winning. She's got 2. You got 1.5, John. Yeah.
Yeah, you guys have done 8 episodes with us. I think I have the first episode that you guys were on was episode 27. That was March 23rd, 2021, cybersecurity. It's a journey. So we wanted to ask you, what do you think is the common theme from our very first time together until now?
It's a common theme. I think what we've really, you know, tried to talk about, and I think the biggest theme is really, you know, CMMC and just, you know, trying to get a grasp of it, you know, a sort of a simple way, you know, to attack the cybersecurity problem. And I know we've talked about that in a lot of different ways. And sure, you know, every once in a while, we dove down that corner that was deep, dark, and very complicated with technology and cybersecurity acronyms. But I think all in all, what we really tried to do was to help folks, you know, get some simple education on how to deal with the problem simply. Is that the right answer?
That is the right answer. That's a great answer.
Yeah. All right. So did we sound younger? I would like to listen to that clip. And because I'm 44, I'm reflecting on my life, and I feel like the last 4 years I've aged quite a bit. I'd like to know if that's reflected in the podcast.
Probably less gray in the beard, John. Yeah. Certainly less gray in my hair. But
is that because of what you guys have done in the last 4 years, or is it because of the stress of the 8 episodes of the podcast?
No. I think that those rejuvenated us. Cybersecurity can take a toll. That and young children. So yeah.
Oh my God. Well, it's quite an accomplishment. 8 episodes is it's definitely the most that we've done. So it's definitely a hot topic that we feel. I think we feel it too. We feel it's really important to provide the consistency for our audience to make sure that they know where the information is and what's available to them and how they can access it. And I think what's great is with what, you know, we do, obviously we focus on these small to medium-sized manufacturers, but I think there's probably been plenty of times where maybe you guys have interacted with people, whether it be at an event, maybe with us or somewhere else, or, you know, that it hasn't maybe necessarily turned into something bigger, but you've been there to help and you've answered questions for them. And we do the same thing. And so I think that's why there is such a great relationship, and maybe that why it was love at first sight when you guys saw each other. And so talent sees talent, right? And respects it and appreciates it. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, thanks. Yeah. We've thoroughly enjoyed it. You know, even as recently as yesterday, still have these conversations with folks that are just in need of help. And I'm very thankful to have this partnership with MassMEP to be able to provide it.
You know, last 4 years, it's been a little different in the world. How do you, or do you see things changing in the future, or just cybersecurity becoming more and more relevant as we go into a different world globally?
That is a great question. I think about that a lot, and we do a lot of research on new threat, right? It's sort of a daily education for us. And it's an interesting question right now. I can say, you know, 4 years ago, I think I actually did a podcast where someone asked me that question, like, what is going to be the next innovation in IT? And I was the wet blanket that said, oh, unfortunately, it's going to be cybersecurity, because that's the thing that everybody needs right now, and we're behind. My opinion, you know, my feeling today is that we're still behind, right? I think folks are still adopting a maturity around what a good baseline is for cybersecurity. You know, I think the level of threat we're dealing with is still far more advanced, you know, than anything we can use for defense. So what you're left with is sort of this complicated soup of what do I need and what's available and how do I address all these risks? I don't know I don't see a path, even with things like AI right now, I don't see a way that that's going to become simpler, unfortunately. But the more that we talk about it, the more that we educate folks, and hopefully, you know, the more resources that are out there to help people, you know, create the right recipe, then hopefully that becomes easier for the business owner, because at the end of the day, right, that's what we're trying to do. But no, there will be more threats, more complicated threats, you know, more tools to try to defend those things. And I think it's going to be interesting to watch it unfold.
Do you see the political landscape playing into that at all? Like if November goes blue or red?
Oof. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I know this is supposed to be a fun one, but I have your attention, so I'm going
to
ask.
No, questions. This is great. Kathy, I think we need to get a beer sometime. I think we need to go through all of this.
Happy to do it.
Of course, right? I think our country stance, you know, is a big part of how, especially the manufacturing community, it's so important to the country, and very specifically also, you know, in the DoD space, our supply chains are a huge part of our national defense stance and our ability. And, you know, that whole world is becoming more and more engaged in cyber warfare, right? It's almost become just as powerful as nuclear power, right? So the power landscape shifting. And so, yeah, you know, I guess to briefly answer the question, you know, whoever's really kind of our commander in chief there, right, is going to decide what our national stance is on cybersecurity. And I think it plays a huge role in how we look at things here in America.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%.
Yeah.
Well, I'm with Kathy while we have your attention and you're right here in front of us. We do the Voice of the Manufacturing Survey every year. And the numbers for me are like overwhelming of those that are somewhat confident and very confident that they are cyber secure. 62% said they were somewhat confident, 30% said they were very confident. My question is, what makes you very confident? Like, we have Matt, and I know he's doing a phenomenal job. I'm not very confident.
Well, you got to think, Christy, it's always a game of catch up, because the threat has to come out before you can defend against it. So it's always that, it's a cat and mouse game, and you're always trying to figure out what that stance is and how to protect, you know, the organization and all your clients' information from any of these things that come in. So
could you ever really be very confident? I guess that's my question.
Yeah, you could just work with Matt or Synergex to manage your IT and everything's wonderful. I think in all honesty, it's confidence in risk management, right? This is the former banker in me, and I know Pete would agree, right? It's, if you can quantify your risks, if you can have a good sense for how you manage risk and make sure that, you know, whatever solutions and policies and procedures you're deploying is sort of accurate to the way you manage risk, then you can sleep better at night, right? You know that if this happens, this is how I manage it. If this, you know, these are the things that can't happen. But, you know, to Matt's point, it's an evolving threat to some degree. You know, we are being reactive to new threat. So just having command over risk is to us how we sort of describe how you can sleep at night and feel good about your cybersecurity posture. But you definitely need folks who understand what you do and relate that to risk and cybersecurity.
And I would say probably a common theme in many of our podcasts with you guys has been staying vigilant. We brought it up at some point in each of those podcasts, and 4 years later, still see that as very important, that the threat actors are going after your staff first, that personal level is probably what's at risk the most. So those companies that are saying that they're very advanced and prepared are probably have a very good training program in place too, that they're staying in front of their staff, like stay vigilant in this, be aware of what the next threat is, know that those phishing campaigns are not going away, and they're one of the number one risks that an organization is kind of falling prey to.
All right. Well,
I thought we said we wanted to keep this like fun.
Yeah,
cybersecurity. Like, you know, we know it's a dry topic.
All right, so let me ask you my new networking question. What are you most excited about in the upcoming year? And I'm going to ask Pete first.
Sure. From Synergex, I'd say that we've been growing, and I'm excited about that continued growth with Synergex. My team, 4 years ago, I was the team. From the cybersecurity perspective, we're at least five members now on that team and growing. We're to keep up with that, just what's happening in the environment and with the relationships we have with MEPs here in Massachusetts and across the nation, that we've grown those relationships, which is fantastic. And we love just working with these manufacturers. So I'm looking forward to just continuing those relationships, getting to work with these small manufacturers. I learn so much each time I go into each of these companies. They're all a little bit different and a lot of fun, similar kind of personalities that we have too at Synergex in these manufacturing companies we're going into.
Yep. Totally right. I mean, and it's not, I'm telling you, this isn't a planted answer, but working with Mass MEP and working with manufacturing is like so much fun. Manufacturers do such cool things. And so we've got a good, you know, base of knowledge, experience, clients, you know, that have common needs. And so as we're looking into the future and planning strategically, it's more of what can we do to help solve problems on a larger scale in Massachusetts? How can we take Massachusetts manufacturing community, work with Mass MEP, and actually have a material impact? And so we're talking pretty creatively about those things. There's lots of resources available. Exactly what that means and how that comes to fruition, well, We're not sure yet. That's innovation, right? We're developing some strategies. We have some cool ideas, throwing things against the wall, but that's probably what we're most excited about is, you know, how can we have a bigger impact?
I'm excited to hear about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. That beer's coming. Good.
All right.
Yeah. We'll send you, we're going to get, I think Kevin said he was working on getting special champagne bottles created for the 100th episode. So we'll be shipping them out soon.
Right? Oh yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
Very soon. Very soon.
Well, I know you guys are on a tight schedule, and I know that John, you probably have to hop off. Pete, you are more than welcome to hang out with us if you want to stay on for a little bit longer, but John, thanks for coming in and participating, and we too, like Kathy said, we're excited and looking forward to where we're going in the future. And if you leave now and Pete stays, don't worry, the podcast is in great hands with Pete.
Do I get to keep John's 2.5 points?
You can carry that forward.
It's a team game, Pete. Of course. Thank you.
Good answer,
thank
you, John. Good answer.
Thank you. It's always lovely to see everybody. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
Bye, John.
Bye.
Matt, because I know you love doing these podcasts so much, we thought we'd be a little bit easier on you. And not maybe jump into so many trivia questions. By the way, your answer was great to what Christy just said too. That was pretty impressive. I was impressed by that. I don't know if you prepared.
I can throw one out there every once in a while.
Yeah, that was good. Good answers. I like it. So you've been with Mass AMP how long now?
A little over 18 years.
Okay, so I'm just going to put this out there right now. Everybody in this organization started with Mass MVP when they were toddlers. So let's just get that out there. Everybody's very young when they started. And so I know for you, personally, there's a connection, but also professionally, right? You've been with Mass MVP and now the Associate Director of IT, but your grandfather, Jack Healy, right? So he was our former president and leader of Mass MVP. I have to ask you this question. What would he think about this podcast?
He would probably like it a lot because he used to do, before podcasts were a thing, he used to do the radio show, which I just saw Kathy's face because when Jack couldn't go, Kathy had to go. correct me if I'm wrong, Kathy, was it WTAG? Yeah. And he did it, I want to say it was once a month.
Once a month we did it.
And
it was live.
Yep.
And it was Saturdays from
afternoon.
4 to 6, 5 to 7.
Yeah, it was a horrible time.
Horrible. Absolutely awful.
He couldn't plan anything around the weekend day because of it. And he absolutely loved it because he just liked to talk and he was passionate about everything, you know, manufacturing. So, you know, he'd always come home and say, oh, did you listen to me today? And we'd all, yep, but no one listened. I mean, we did here and there, but, you know, he was always very excited about it and, you know, tried to get all that, the word out there and, you know, spread what manufacturing was, what it did, you know, the like that was mentioned earlier, the cool things that happened in it, and just try to have some, you know, knowledge spread around with it.
Yeah. Well, I think it shows too, because obviously I think the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, because I think you do the same thing yourself, you know, like the way that you also represent the importance of the organization and the people that are not only a part of it and that we work with directly, but then also, you know, internally and externally. So it's definitely, it's there. It's still transcending through generations from where we were in the history, but maybe you guys can talk a little bit about the history of us and as Mass MEP. And Christy, I know you can add into this too, because your numbers are getting up there too. Again, being since you started as a toddler, so your numbers are adding up too, but maybe you guys can add a little bit to that.
How much do you want?
Oh, give me, how about this? Is there a story that you think that people don't know? Because we do use a lot of obviously there's a purpose to history, right? So it's mm-hmm. used to learn from and to educate for. So is there something you think that maybe the audience may not know, whether it may be about the organization or about maybe Jack or maybe yourself, Kathy, you know, something along those lines?
So here's some trivia facts. Huh? And I'm not going to get the years correct, But the MEP national program, so for those, I think pretty much everyone knows that there's an MEP in every state, was designed by, I believe he was a senator, Hollingsworth, in out of South Carolina, and it was designed out of the agricultural program that existed and still exists today to help farmers and agriculture. So it was designed out of that specifically for manufacturing. And it began, I believe, in like the late 80s, early 90s, right around the time that the recession had happened. So it was to help the influx of manufacturing here in Massachusetts and across the country. So that's something I don't think a lot of people know about the program, how it originated. It was originally a cooperative program, and the Mass MEP program started out of WPI. So we were part of WPI up until, I think it was 90s. No, it was like 2004, 2005. We were all employees of WPI. So we originated in Holden in WPI, at WPI. And then Jack came on board in 98, I believe, and moved us to Worcester. And I came on board shortly thereafter. So, yeah. And Jack was instrumental in bringing Legos to the United States prior to coming to one of his careers was before coming to New England. He worked for Legos down in Connecticut, and he was instrumental in bringing them to Connecticut in the United States.
There you go, Kevin, trivia you didn't know. So when they ask that question on Jeopardy, you'll get that one, right?
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. For
yeah.
sure.
Yeah. That's exciting. So Matt, please tell me there's a lot of Legos that you have somewhere.
So when I was a kid, I got all the test kits that none of the kids had yet. And we had a basement full of them. And I'll be honest and say this, that about a month ago, we cleaned out our house and I got rid of the last of them.
Oh.
We had one bin left and it still had that musty basement smell from our old house. And my kids are like, Dad, we're not touching these. They smell. They're gross. We have new ones. I said, okay. I said, we can get rid of them. So... yeah, plenty of them growing up.
That's good. That's good. It opens up your mind using Legos, right? Building and constructing. So that's kind of cool. Great little input. I like that.
I'm gonna tee these guys up because I've got to sit on the sideline and hear a lot of the Jack stories over the years, which are amazing. And I will tell you that Jack could make a friend. He had a connection with every single person. To the point when I joined, apparently he worked with or knew my father-in-law from Table Talk. Like he knew everybody. But Jack had two things he used to say. They are, Matt and Kathy, what did he tell you to go out and do every day?
Make a friend.
And what was his saying?
For all intents and purposes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
For cracking ice.
That's what I was going with.
Crack and ice for all intents and purposes. And if I was you, but I'm not telling you what to do, this is what I would do.
And I actually have a story about, you know, he always knew someone everywhere we went. It didn't matter where we went. He would run into someone. And we had an opportunity to go to the Red Sox-Yankees game while he was still alive at Fenway. And we got the tickets from actually someone at the main MEP. And we go and we sit down, and the person sitting in front of us is someone I knew, and he didn't know him. And I knew him from Starrett. He was the head of HR, was Joel Shaughnessy. And Jack goes, see, you know people too. It wasn't just him. It was the first time we went somewhere and he didn't know anyone, and I did.
That's the first last time. That was the passing of the torch right there, Matt.
Yeah.
Yep. There you go, Matt.
Yeah.
He used to sell, was orange soda, right, Jack, Matt, out of at Yankee Stadium with the tank on his back.
Yep.
So they used to sell the soda with the tank on your back and the hose, and it was like 10 cents. And he would walk the stadium filling up the cups. And a couple of years ago, we had the privilege of going to Paris to see a concert, and there was a guy with a Heineken doing that exact same thing. Yep. And I'm like, hey, that's what Jack used to do. Yeah.
Was it
10 cents? But yeah,
that's what I was thinking too. Oh my God.
But so that that always tied into his story about if you take care of the people will take care of the business.
Yeah.
Because it was like 7 cents prior to, so people would just give you the dime and say, here, keep the, so he would make 3 cents on a, which I don't know the years, Matt might know the years, but it was a lot of money back then. And when they went to 10 cents, it reduced his salary. It reduced what he made because he wasn't getting that change. So that was one of the stories he used to tell is, and that's one of the things I live by is if you take care of the people will take care of the business. And he wasn't that, I mean, there, he, the company made more money, but he actually made less money.
That's amazing. Okay. I have to ask, what was the one saying you said for, what was it? Crack and ice?
Crack and ice.
Crack and ice. Yeah.
What is that? What does that mean?
We would have to bleep out what he really would want to say because of it. If we're keeping the podcast PG or having an E rating for everyone. But that's what he would say instead of, you know, using some worse language.
Yeah. I like that. That's a great little saying. All right.
Interesting.
Crack and ice. Crack and ice. We'll be using it all day today.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to stop hearing that one. That's for sure.
Thanks for the fuel. I appreciate it.
So as we reminisce about the old times with MassMEP and then look forward to the future of MassMEP as well as the podcast, another trivia question comes to mind. Of this group, who has done the most episodes with us?
Haley.
You and Haley.
Okay.
Other than who?
It's got to be you.
I have done 93 episodes, yes.
I was gonna go
97. Yeah, 97. You're right. But no, it's of you four.
Matt just got it. So give Matt.
Oh,
give
it's Matt gets a point. What'd you say, Matt?
I said if it's not the two of you as the host, it's gonna be probably Christy.
Yeah. Yeah. Christy, how many think you've done?
Well, I'm gonna go off of John's cheat sheet and say 20. So, thank you, John, for passing the cheat sheet on when you left.
Pete, did you not get the cheat sheet from John? He gave it to Christy, not you?
Yeah, how unfair. He left me just floating out here. No answers. I'm hurt.
Yeah. 20 I'll give plus.
You, I'll give you half my point, Pete.
All right. I'm at three.
Yeah. 20 plus episodes.
20 plus episodes, Christy. That's incredible.
Don't ever listen to the first three. Just cut those out of the archives and say they don't count.
Because why are you telling people not to listen to the first three? Because you were the host, right?
Yeah, but we scripted the whole thing. I mean, everybody had a script and we had people just reading from the script. This is way more fun than what we did. We were like sweating bullets.
We started that way at the very beginning. Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah.
A long way.
Wow. That's crazy.
So yeah, Christy, 20 plus, you've been with MassMEP for 10 years. What are your thoughts on how we have taken our past and intertwined it into where we are today?
Holy, that is a hard question. Well, we're a group of continuous improvement, right? So I think that taking the past and learning from all of the mistakes that we've had over the years and improving what we do today, I think that MassMEP is, I from everything, from our culture to our trainings and our simulations to taking that even further into consulting, helping companies truly major impacts in their organizations and like helping them grow and keeping manufacturing here in Massachusetts. And then growing our partners and having partners like Synergex and Safety Trainers. I mean, we have some of the most incredible partners that we've actually gotten to a place where we can be very picky about who we work with and who we work for. So I think that's where I would go. I'm sure Kathy and Matt can be way more articulate than that, though.
Go ahead, Kathy, you got something?
It's just, you know, thinking about the where we came from. I mean, when I started here, we didn't have email. And now we're doing podcasts. So that was one of the first things I did, was institute email that wasn't Hotmail. So thinking about that frame, and where we are today now with technology, and we're using AI internally, we're using teaching AI to our clients, right? And it's just that, and it's not a long period of time either. And you think about how everything has grown over the years. But at the base of it, it's all about the people and the culture piece of it. I mean, technology can do what technology does, but it's creating that culture here at the organization, which I think is critical. And that is something that hasn't changed.
Yeah. I think a big part of that too is like, I was going to say, Christy, I was going to ask you and you, Matt. So sorry, Pete, this one you can't answer. But now that you've been on here, as long as you have, you know, all this history, it's almost like you're part of the Massimi P team anyway. But I was going to say, like, we do, you know, our, outings and our activities as a team. And I was going to ask you guys, in over the time we've had quite a few of them, what has been your favorite that we have done, of the internal, company outings or events that we've held? What have you enjoyed?
You must be referring to when Matt and I took down the entire organization.
Here we go. Yep.
Come on, Matt. We are the cornhole champions.
Yeah, we were that year. Then the year after, we had cornhole as well, and you traded me in.
I did. And I lost.
You lost, so that was your own fault. But those are probably my, you know, obviously being here for a while and going through a lot of those were probably my two favorite years for, you know, team building and, you know, just having everyone together and just having a good time. You know, that the one you were talking about was that, what was it called? Recess. So it was like a giant indoor play place for adults. And then the other one was at Wachusett Mountain, which was, you know, a fun venue to have everyone and their families at.
Yeah.
But if I remember correctly, both had, were family. They weren't just the employees.
Yep.
Okay. Good point, Kathy. Good point. Yeah. Wow.
So I was gonna, because I was here for recess, but I wasn't here for Mount Wachusett. We used to go to Kimball Farm, and it was family because There was something for everyone. And those were my favorite.
Nice.
Great spot.
What about you, Haley?
I haven't been to as many. I think this last one was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. We just did the we were at Apex in Marlboro. I think because it was sports oriented, and so I liked it. But I have to say that one at Wachusett Mountain was really, it was really cool. And Kathy, I'm sorry that like you would have liked it because it was very oriented around the people, and we were able, like, we just kind of sat and talked, and you know, you hung out really as friends. You know, as I mean, you were colleagues, but you really became kind of friends as well in that space. I know it was Dawn's first event, which she came to with us as a group. And so, yeah, I haven't really, I'm trying to think of what other ones. I love the holiday ones because, again, there's always a game included in it. So it gets competitive, you know, Pete, you know how it works, like being in these competitive situations. So those are always fun. But yeah, I think it's hard because I think what's important is, like Kathy said, you know, she focuses on the people and every element of that completely. And I think we try to be very intentional in what we do for our people internally. I think what's kind of interesting is we were sitting through some meetings a couple of months ago working on some new content. And one of the things that was like, you know, who's first in this order? And we sat and looked at it and it moved around. And at the end of it, everybody's like, wait, it's our people first. Mm-hmm. And our people come first. And then if we have our staff and we have our people, then we can have clients. And then, you know, we can work with legislation, and just, it just shows, it really stands true. And, you know, I've said for years, I've worked for a long time but I didn't find a career until I came here. I've worked for a really long time. I started when I was a toddler, Christy, a toddler like you. But when I came to Mass MEP, I found a career, and we really do enjoy and love what we do. So yeah. Yeah.
I have a trivia question that maybe I want to hear what Pete has to say on this. Who do you think the best bowler at Mass MEP is? And I will give you a hint, because there's 39 of us, and I don't even think you know all 39 of us, but it is one of the business development advisors.
I think you got to give them like five names.
Okay.
The names of the business development advisors.
It could be.
If I was Bill, Pete, I wouldn't know titles.
It could be Bill. It could be Manny. It could be Mike. It could be Ron. It could be Gary, or it could be Rick.
So I don't know why, but Ron stands out to me as someone that's a great bowler.
That's so awesome. You're right.
And I was going to go with Ron even before you listed the names.
Wow.
Actually, we're at 3 points right there.
Wait, how? Like, what? Okay, explain this to me. How
do he appears like he has a hidden talent in bowling. Yeah, that works. He could have been hanging out on a kind of Big Lebowski kind of bowling alley. And
I hope Ron is listening. Ron better listen to this episode.
How long has Ron been with the organization? Anybody know?
Yeah, four years.
Yeah.
He was hired right before COVID hit.
Yeah.
Okay. So I've been with Synergex about the same period, and I've known Ron the whole time. So wasn't sure if he'd been there longer.
Yeah. That's impressive. Pete, that's impressive. Very talented. That's some talent right there. Wow. You also probably have a hidden talent.
It's not bowling. Not sure what it would be, but not bowling.
Although I don't know if you remember one of the icebreakers, but we did talk about what show you would be on, and you chose the karaoke, right?
Yeah. What is it called? Something like that, where you don't, it could be that you're actually singing or not singing.
Right.
I have no singing talent. I might be able to fool the crowd with a little lip syncing. Not sure.
Yeah. Wow. There's some good trivia amongst this group here. I like it. I like it. So I have one last trivia question, and I want to see, I think this might be a, a low ball or softball? Yeah, that thing. Yeah, one of those. This might be a softball. So there is somebody in this group that we like to say has a connection to a pop culture, very popular TV show called Friends. Who is it?
I'm guessing Kevin, by the way he's laughing.
That is not me.
I'm going Christy. She didn't say anything.
No. I'm hoping it's not me, because I don't know what it is. If it is,
no,
it's gotta be you.
No.
So
I'm referencing my break.
Kathy. Yeah. 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 It is you. It is you.
I'm trending.
Yeah. You were trending. Yeah. And I have to say, all in all, I think the company as a whole, we're starting to see a theme here, because we also pivoted. And that is also a big part of Friends pivot.
Good point.
You're going to say it was me moving a wall the other day on the other side of the office, yelling at myself, pivoting the panels.
Pivoting panels.
You're saying a lot of cracking ice.
I use the real words.
No HR in the building that day, Kathy. We were all clear. Clear. Yeah. So Kathy, you have been, you know, we won't count that time, but we do say that, you know, that was one of your podcasts, right? We were always on a break. Then, yep, you were on a break. So you've been with the company how long?
Total? 2 years.
2 years?
2 years in like 2 weeks.
And then previously before that?
So I have been with the company coming on 26 years.
That's, again, started when she was a toddler. We did practice that earlier. So we are, obviously we've talked about the people and us and who we are, but why do you think it's important for us as a center to kind of keep our finger on the pulse of the manufacturing community regionally, or like inside of our state, and then also nationally?
So manufacturers are doing fantastic work, they're so critical to the economy as a whole. Their weakness is that they tend to focus on the business. So as a resource to manufacturers, it's important that we help them stay relevant and keep them up to date and making sure that they can continue to be productive and efficient and grow as an organization. And there is just so much to know. So that's why we have such great partners with niches like Synergex, like Exalytic, safety trainers, because they have those niches. So we work with them, we rely on them to know their business, but our business is knowing the overall landscape of manufacturing and how do we then direct our client companies to what is important for them so they don't have to worry about learning, like, should I pay attention to this? Should I pay attention to this? Like, but we go in asking the right questions to help guide them on where they should be paying their, because their time is very valuable. They need to get the product out the door, but also be understanding what's happening in the trends, both at the state level and at the federal level, for both opportunities for them to grow, right? Pivot is a word that came out of the pandemic. How can we help them pivot if they're having sales issues or new products, that opportunities that may arise for them? But also, you know, the CHIPS is a huge initiative of the state right now. Are there companies in our state that we're working with that we could help get into that market? The same thing with the defense industry, you know, the submarine coming down into Rhode Island right now being built. There's going to be a supply chain pipeline concerns coming up. So how do we help our companies enter into those markets? But we have to understand that as a broad organization.
I love it. This is great. Well, I mean, this is really good. I think we're out of, we have no more trivia questions. We ran out of trivia questions. So I think this podcast may have generated a good, at least 20 more though, without a doubt, that we can use in 100 episodes.
And John's going to buy me a beer.
I know. That's the biggest thing.
That was time well spent.
Right? That was right. Now I just have to ask, are you going to meet halfway, or because it's quite a distance between you and where they are? So I wasn't sure. Okay. All right. Got it. Yeah.
Well, we might have then name. That was a good segue into, we're going to see him in October.
Yeah.
October 25th at the Strategic Resource.
Oh, perfect.
Showcase.
Yes, that one. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure there's a place to get a beer right outside of the DCU Center.
Perfect. Well, thank you all for coming in and helping us celebrate the 100th episode. We appreciate it.
Thanks for inviting us.
Oh my gosh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's a big world out there. It's a lot that goes on in just our four borders of our state. And so we're going to keep moving forward, and we've got a lot of topics to cover in the next 100 episodes, Kevin.
I'm excited.
Good. Good. Get cracking.
Well, thank you, everyone, for all that you're doing.
You're welcome. Yeah. Yeah. Let's get some good topics going.
Good icebreakers. Good dad jokes. A lot of good dad jokes in the future.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to listen to the recap episodes for the good dad jokes. Well, thank you all. Thanks for joining us today. And, thanks for everyone else for listening to the Mouse MEP Manufacturing Podcast, and we'll see you next time.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to the Mouse MEP Manufacturing Podcast, transforming manufacturing enterprises.
You can subscribe to our channel anywhere you listen to your podcast, or you can always go to our website at massmep.org.
We'll see you next time, whether it's in
our space,
your space,
or cyberspace.